Hello, I'm Michael Mrosiak, Senior Communications Specialist with the Catholic Diocese of Buffalo and Coordinator of the Diocese of Buffalo's Sound Hub, which includes Western New York Catholic Audio. The Diocese Office of Respect Life held its 2024 Pro Vita Awards Mass at St. Christopher Church in Tonawanda Thursday, April 25th, and following that, the annual St. Gianna Mola Banquet was held at Classics 5 in Amherst. The keynote speaker at the latter event was Diane Ferraro, Chief Executive Officer of Save the Storks, an agency which provides healthcare services and counseling to pregnant women with the hope of convincing those living with unwanted pregnancies to decide against abortion and give the child a chance to live. Hours before the banquet, Ferraro visited the Catholic Center in downtown Buffalo, where she sat with me for a one-on-one interview. Here's that conversation. I am joined by Diane Ferraro, the Chief Executive Officer of Save the Storks, headquartered in Colorado Springs.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor.
You're based in Colorado Springs, but you serve more than 30 states, compassionate, holistic care for pregnant women, and you do it through a fleet of so-called stork buses. Talk about your buses.
We sure do. So our stork buses are something I like to call vessels of divine deliverance, and I really gleaned this from a study Bible I had that talked about Moses being put in that little basket when his life was saved, when his mother pushed him down that river. And I really saw the mobile medical clinics that Save the Storks runs as modern day vessels of divine deliverance, because when a woman steps on board and she hears the baby's heartbeat and sees the ultrasound, 4 out of 5 times, she chooses life for her baby. So it really is a life-saving vehicle that's going around the country. And actually, we're in 34 states now with 101 clinics on wheels.
You hear the phrase food deserts, healthcare deserts. It basically, it identifies large geographical regions where access to basic needs is not easily reached. Talk about the importance of getting the fleet of buses out there to those so-called care deserts.
Yes. So glad you brought this up. So there are vast maternal health care deserts around the country. And these are areas where a woman might be 30 miles or more away from an OBGYN or a hospital or even an urgent care. These are the women that are being preyed upon by the abortion industry. They're being preyed upon saying, just take the abortion pill. It's an easy way out. You really don't have access to care. You might live in a rural area. You might live in an urban area where you don't have transportation. These all could be maternal health care deserts that we have to reach out to women and provide for them and make sure they have real health care. And that means life-affirming health care.
It's not just about prenatal care. It's also postnatal care. Here in the Diocese of Buffalo, we have the St. Gianna Mola Pregnancy Outreach Center, which does just that. It provides care for mothers who have had their children, and whether they ultimately give them up for adoption or raise them, one way or another, the mother is cared for after the child has been delivered. Talk about the importance of getting the message out there that pro-life is more than just protecting the unborn baby. It's also providing help for the mother and the baby after the baby is born.
Absolutely. You know, I grew up in the 80s in Orange County, California, and I saw a pro-life movement that was really pro-birth. And what warms my heart is what I'm seeing, especially here in Buffalo and this part of New York, is you truly are providing holistic care. You're taking care of that mom when she finds out she's pregnant. You're walking with her through the pregnancy, but then after the baby is delivered, you're making sure she has the housing, she has, you know, job training, she has the education, she has support for her family. If she has other children, she's getting that support. That is something that really is trendsetting in the country, and what I really feel is a model for other Catholic charities around the nation and other pro-life ministries to follow, to take care of mom after the delivery of her baby so she feels loved and supported. And we always say we want a mom to not just survive, we want her to thrive with her family.
You're a living example of what happens when a mother says yes. You were adopted, you were the result of an unwanted pregnancy, and yet here you are, a living example showing the great potential here. Talk about the feeling you have when you bring that credibility into your position and perhaps even into pro-life ministry.
Yes. Well, I have always been pro-life because from an early age, my adopted parents told me I was adopted, and they told me I was extra special and extra loved because my mom, who couldn't take care of me and raise me, she chose life for me. And then as I grew up, it was really a story. I kind of created my own narrative because I did not meet my birth mother until I was 26. And when I met her, that's when I realized and discovered the real story. She was married. She had 4 little boys. She had a one-night stand. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago that she admitted to me that she actually drove to Mexico to abort me. She went with another woman who was also pregnant. Again, abortions back in the late 60s were still illegal in California. So they drove to Mexico about 90 minutes south and went to an abortion clinic. And my birth mother changed her mind inside that clinic, walked out, and then found an adoption attorney. So for me, this is a story where I can really share what my birth mom went through and what I grew up knowing as an adopted child, that adoption is a beautiful choice, that it's not losing control. It's actually taking control of your situation. And for a young mom who isn't ready to parent, she can choose adoption for her baby. And now the beautiful thing is there's a lot of open adoptions. We have a young woman on staff who actually did get pregnant in college and chose adoption. And her daughter's now 14 and they have a beautiful relationship and they love each other almost like as friends. And her daughter gets to see how brave and strong her mom was who did choose life. And she's also growing up in a beautiful adoptive family.
You have a position that pro-life is pro-woman. I'd like to hear you elaborate more on that.
Absolutely. So pro-woman is a term that we really want the pro-life movement to own, because Planned Parenthood, unfortunately, has made women think that they're in control of their bodies. You know, my body, my choice, and abortion is healthcare. All of these false narratives that you see and hear, especially on social media, young women are being so influenced by celebrities who are pro-abortion. We really believe that we are pro-woman. We know we're pro-woman. We are created in the image of God. God created women to get pregnant and bring children into this world. And Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry has really been ripping this from women, this God-given right. And we need to bring back to women that it is their right. It is something they should be proud of and something they should fight for. Pregnancy is a beautiful gift, and we want to empower women to choose life, because that is the ultimate gift of being a woman, in my opinion.
We are now living in a post-Roe society. The decision came down in the summer of 2022. While it put an end to nationwide legal abortion, it sent the issue down to the states. And New York State is one of those that even had legal abortion before the Roe versus Wade decision. It's been said it's not just about changing laws, it's about changing hearts and minds. Do you feel the tide has turned and that hearts are being changed favorably?
I think slowly but surely, yes. I definitely see in the church that people who believe that women deserve better than abortion and truly have that love and compassion are providing that. I think there's still a lot of work to do nationwide. I think there's a lot of states, especially in the red states, where they feel that abortion is illegal, not much else we have to do. What they forget is women are traveling to other states to have their abortions. They're traveling to New York, traveling to Colorado, traveling to California. They're getting paid up to $7,500. To have an abortion in another state. So we must not give up this fight. And you're right, we can't rely on the laws. We can't rely on the politicians to make abortion illegal. We need to really change hearts and minds with the church, but also with people who are just pro-human beings and want to see our country thrive. And we can only thrive when we're recognizing that babies are humans in the womb.
You're here as a guest of the St. John Amola Pregnancy Outreach Centers within the Diocese of Buffalo. They're now up to 7 different locations, 2 of which have opened just within the past 2 years. It's growing. It's expanding. Tell me about observing this. And as you speak to local pro-life advocates here in Buffalo, what's the most important message you want to send them away with?
Yeah, the most important message here is keep doing the great work. Keep turning to God. You know, don't forget to pray every morning, because, you know, with prayer, we can do anything. You know, God will help us, you know, make anything possible when we turn to Him and do it to bring glory to Him. But don't be discouraged. The pro-abortionists are going to try to fight and attack and try to harm us. But we must be strong and we must continue doing the good work. So I would just say, surround yourselves with other like-minded people and let's really do everything we can to mobilize the youth. If we can get the youth talking about the importance of life as early as elementary and junior high school, we want a nation of young people to grow up and be pro-life, so we don't have to try to convince them and convince them that abortion is wrong. They'll grow up knowing in their heart that there are life-affirming options for the woman. Even in the worst of circumstances, the church is going to be there for her.
Youth in America are looking for some sort of spiritual guidance. They endured COVID studying from home. They fear gun violence within their schools. They are looking for some sort of spiritual nurturing. Is this the generation you think that could finally turn this nation into a true pro-life attitude?
I absolutely have faith in our next generation. I think with parents who are really starting to be honest with their children in the home, talking about science for so many other things like related to the environment, let's start talking with our children as young as they can, you know, comprehend it, that the baby growing inside a woman, that there's scientific proof that life begins at conception. And we want to make sure children are not just taught that that baby is a blob of cells in the womb, but it truly is a human being. And we were all created in the image of God, and we all started in the womb. So I think if we can just let children really start to see this as a social justice issue, not only for the baby, but also the mom, that when that mom is empowered to choose life, she won't have the regret of abortion. She won't have that regret of doing something to her body that really did take that life of a child. That mother will never grow up wondering, what if? She will, I feel, be psychologically healthier, spiritually healthier, and physically healthier, because we do know the harm that abortions cause to a woman. And now with the abortion pill, women are actually an abortionist in their own bathroom, in their own dorm room. And the psychological impact of this, the PTSD, the mental health crisis that is probably taking place right in front of us and people are ignoring, is real. And I think children need to understand this so they can really start to fight for women and fight for the truth and stand up at a young age. And again, see this as a social justice issue that's more important, I feel, than anything else right now going on in our country.
If folks want to find out more about Save the Storks, how can they do so?
Yeah, check us out at savethestorks.com. You will find resources there to volunteer. You'll learn more about our mobile medical clinics. You can really follow our journey and see what's happening to women. You know, read about stories of women who did choose life, and then just continue to pray for us and follow us on social media.
Diane Ferraro, Chief Executive Officer of Save the Storks, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. God bless you.